Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's great to have you with me here today. And now here's a question that we've asked a few times on this show. How are you doing setting your boundaries and keeping them? Boundaries are so important for all of us when it comes to our well-being. And later, the boundary boss herself, Terry Cole, will be offering her wisdom to help any eager apprentices amongst us. First, let's just get back to nature, and I've noticed how the trees have started to turn as we move into autumn, and now is a good time to go foraging for fruits and berries and maybe even a few early mushrooms. Whatever you decide to pick, though, just make sure that you've properly identified it first and know how to prepare it. Mushrooms particularly can be a bit tricky, and it's a good idea to find someone who knows what they're doing to go with you if you're not sure. Elderberries, for instance, are looking good right now, but don't go eating them raw or you will get an upset stomach at best. I know I have suffered from that in the past, and I tend to eat the odd one if I'm picking elderberries, but one day I just had too much and my stomach did not thank me for it. They are slightly poisonous. Now, another berry that's looking really good right now is our sea buckthorn that grows so abundantly along our coastline, especially in Scotland. And I joined Kirsty Campbell of Sea Buckthorn Scotland along the coast of East Lothian, just outside Edinburgh recently, as she was sizing up this year's bounty. And bounty it is. It was looking wonderful. Now, if you're looking to harvest your own this year, just be careful. Those thorns on the bushes are pretty intimidating. They're long and sharp, so make sure you're well protected. Kirsty will be joining me on the show soon to tell us all about this superfood and how she runs her community interest company. Meanwhile, if you're curious about sea buckthorn, you can find out about it at my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. Now, someone else I met up with this week is well-being expert and writer Linda Hamilton Parker, who had surprised me with a new trend that I hadn't heard so much about. It's sleep tourism. Yep, that's right, sleep tourism. Now, I know that for many people, getting enough good quality sleep is a real problem. But I hadn't realised how the hospitality industry was jumping onto this particular bandwagon, and I needed to find out more. So I headed over to Linda's place to ask her what it's all about when it's at home, or rather not at home. Here's Linda.
Sleep tourism is an extension of the sort of latest wellness trend that we've seen popping up in hospitality over the last couple of years. Travellers are looking for more holistic experiences, for things to be more and more natural, and of course they're looking for a good night's sleep. So the hospitality industry has cottoned on to this and they're starting to wake up to sleep tourism. Some of them are offering basic things like sleep masks and specially recorded apps to help people get a better night's sleep, while others are going the whole hog and introducing AI-powered beds, which can actually help to regulate your temperature and map your circadian rhythm. some hotels have gone the extra mile and they have even recruited their own wellbeing coaches and sleep mentors to help you get a better night's sleep.
Wow. So that sounds quite extraordinary, because you would hope that you would get a good night's sleep in a decent hotel anyway. But I guess a lot of people are suffering from sleep disorders. You know, they can't get a good night's sleep. So is this just country house hotels, let's say, or is it in cities as well?
It's all over. Hotels are starting to move in, you know, extra soundproofing, better air conditioning, from specialist fans. So from fitting you with technology to actually map your sleep cycle and your sort of REM sleep, hotels in both country and cities are really catching on to this. And as I say, offering it as an extension of their wellness programs. So there are things like extra soundproofing that can help to, you know, regulate the noise to help you get a better night's sleep. Special scents, aromatherapy. Some places are even offering things like mouth tape, believe it or not.
Mouth tape?
Mouth tape to wear while you're sleeping, which encourages nose breathing, which in turn helps you get a more restful night's.
Wow, I don't think that I'd really want to do that. Seriously, putting tape over your mouth so
it
that your
sounds
mouth...
extreme. The proper yeah. term for it is actually hostage tape, and it's a new a fad that some places are bringing in. So you can tape your mouth up, so you're forced to breathe through your nose, and you get a really restful night's sleep.
Wow. Well, that does sound extreme. I just thought it was going to be things like, you know, extra comfy beds, really lovely duvets, you know, lovely pillows, or maybe orthopedic beds and pillows and that sort of thing. But this is really going to some extremes. But I guess the problem's really quite widespread.
Yeah, I mean, the problem of insomnia and stress and more, is very common. More and more people are looking to relax, fully relax. So once they've had a nice time in the hotel spa, then they can go back to their room, which is not only sort of orthopedic pillows and nice comfy mattresses, like you say. Some hotels are really going the extra mile to put that extra tech in to guarantee a good night's sleep. And then you can even have a consultation with a sleep coach at the beginning and end of your stay to see how you got on, and they will give you recommendations to take home.
That's pretty cool, actually, because I know that insomnia is a big problem right now, and I know there are people who specialise in helping people get a good night's sleep. So this is, though, something which the hotels have cottoned on to. How much more are they charging people for this? I mean, is it an expense now to get this kind of service?
Well, they are selling them as wellness packages or sleep packages. You can go to a sleep retreat for a couple of nights, for example, or have they have sort of coined their own terms for these sleep packages. So it depends. As I say, there are some hotels which are simply doing things like offering kind of lavender scented candles and oils and things to help you get to sleep, as well as sleep masks. And there are others which are really going the whole hog, for which, yes, you can expect to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are talking about things like a massage, and we are talking about things like oils and all of that. So I guess that would, you know, incur a premium price. So how widespread is it, really?
It's a trend that's starting to grow. Certainly there are a number of hotels across the UK doing various different things. There are some in Scotland that have even developed their own sleep teas in conjunction with the names sort of like Twinings and other kind of wellbeing brands.
That's interesting. So people are really getting into that whole niche market of helping people sleep, because, you know, there are a lot of brands in the UK and I'm sure elsewhere of teas that help you sleep. So there are quite a few well-known brands here in the UK. You can get them in supermarkets. But it's interesting that these hotels are actually creating their own blends and selling them. Yeah, that's fascinating. It's a far cry from the aromatherapy candle, isn't it?
Absolutely. Hotels are really looking to put their own stamp on it so that they can make it a more bespoke experience for their guests. And I guess that's why a lot of them are bringing in sleep coaches and mentors to sort of discuss with guests at the start what their kind of problems are and, you know, what they would like help with when it comes to sleep. For example, is it getting comfy? Is it falling asleep? Is it staying asleep? And other places have actually started to install sunrise lamps.
Ah.
So that we can be the room is actually better in tune with your circadian rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. But that makes sense, actually. And getting that early morning sunlight on your face kind of thing, helping you. Yeah, that's fascinating. And so also, I mean, I'm guessing you've got blackout curtains and that sort of thing, keeping the light out while you sleep.
Absolutely. And suppliers to the hotel industry have actually started to wake up to this trend as well. So they are now making and supplying these specialist blinds and curtains, mattresses, beds, headboards, all these kinds of things to the industry. That is how quickly and widespread this is becoming.
It's amazing. It's a whole new market.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. But isn't it interesting that sleeplessness, insomnia, is so widespread that even the hospitality industry is picking up on that and saying, we can help you. We can help you get some sleep. Fascinating, isn't it?
It is. I suppose it's another appeal. It's a reason to escape. Well, let's go and stay there so we can get a really good night's sleep, feel refreshed, feel revitalised. As I say, it's just another extension of the wellness programmes that these hotels are offering.
That's brilliant. So when you go to a spa hotel these days, you can expect to also possibly be offered a sleep package.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sounds great. I'll have to go. Have you been on one?
I haven't been on one yet, but it's on my
to-do list.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, that's brilliant. Thanks for telling us about that, Linda. I think it's something that I didn't know much about at all, and I'm sure that our listeners will be very interested. You said there's a lot of hotels doing it. Is there a list anywhere? Is there anywhere that anybody can go? Do you have any information on your website?
Yes. If you go to travellingfromscotland.uk, there you will find articles on sleep tourism and some of the packages that the hotels are offering.
But that's just based in Scotland, though? So...
No, that's right across the UK.
Oh, brilliant. So
travellingfromscotland.uk.
Okay, fantastic. So head along to travellingfromscotland.uk and find out some more and find out where you can get yourself a good night's sleep. Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Well, you've got to hand it to the hospitality industry. And if it helps, well, then it's got to be a good thing, hasn't it? Another good thing is setting boundaries, and I was delighted to be able to interview the global empowerment and relationships expert, Terry Cole, recently. She's the author of Boundary Boss, the essential guide to talk true, be seen, and finally, live free. Terry is a psychotherapist whose main mission is to teach us how to attain and sustain vibrant mental health and become empowered in all of our relationships. She says her book is for all the courageous women all over the world who are committed to creating healthy relationships and extraordinary lives. And if you're feeling exhausted from overgiving, overdoing, and even overfeeling, it's time to transform your life. Sounds pretty good to me. And as for the book title, well, find out what I think about that book title right after these messages from our station sponsors. We'll be back right after this with Terry Cole.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. And my guest today, one of my guests today, Terry Cole, who talked to me about her book, which has got the best title, Boundary Boss.
Yes.
I love that title. I love it. Tell me about Boundary Boss. About setting boundaries with love, I think, is one of the things that you say.
I do. Well, how about why Boundary Boss?
Oh, yeah. Why
Boundary Boss? Of all the things I could have written about, I've been a therapist for 25 years. This was the one that I think, you know, they say you teach what you most need to learn.
Yeah.
And for me, I was certainly in my 20s. I was a boundary disaster with no understanding of why I was so mad in my relationships and feeling taken advantage of. And I was over giving and over feeling and over all the things, but I was blaming other people for the way I felt. I was like, that person is entitled, rather than seeing it with clarity, which was that I did not have the capacity to express and hold boundaries. I didn't know that's what it was until I had a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
And so the change in my life when I learned what boundaries were and how I basically had very porous boundaries, meaning too malleable. I was a people pleaser. I was highly codependent, all the things. That changed my life so much when I learned. I was so much happier in my relationships when I was able to just talk true, as I like to call it, tell the truth about how I feel, set a limit. So then when I became a psychotherapist, because I had a different career prior to that, I started seeing this what really was an epidemic of the same exact thing. It didn't matter what presenting problem the person came into my office with, because my demographic was really very much like me. It was successful, highly capable women who were coming in, and whether they were complaining about work stuff or stuff at home or family of origin stuff or friendship stuff, I could literally follow those little breadcrumbs backwards to the original injuries and the problems being that they had no idea how to set boundaries. So I was like, wow, this isn't just me, and it isn't just my friends, and it isn't just my sisters. This is friggin' everybody. Yeah. So I was like, there's a need for there to be a book that is the whole thing. It's not like you need this book and 7 other things. You literally need this book, and you need to do it in order. This is how I wrote it. It was like, if this person was on a desert island and they had this book and they're with someone who was annoying and a boundary bully, would this book teach them to set boundaries? And the answer is yes. So that's sort of the why is my own pain in life, but then helping, I mean, at this point, hundreds of thousands of more than that, people all over the world, and hearing the stories of how much happier people are and how much more loved they feel in their relationships just really lights me up.
Yeah. And I have to hold my hands up and say, I was also one of those people who could have done with reading your book a while back, you know, a long time back. And you talk about in your 20s, I'm thinking in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and possibly even later, because we're not taught how to set boundaries at all, are we? And especially as women, I think. We're expected to give, give, give.
And here's the thing, because people will always ask me, why don't I know? What's wrong with me? Like, my clients would be very sort of hard on themselves. And I'm like, I want you to think of being fluent in the language of boundaries like any other language. You wouldn't feel bad that you weren't fluent in French if nobody ever taught you French. You'd go, oh, I need to learn. I need a teacher. I need language classes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. And, you know, JJ, what you said is so accurate of that. What we were taught, it's not even that we weren't taught this important skill. It was that we were actually socialized and indoctrinated into a family system, most of us, where they were like, be a good girl.
Yeah.
Like, shut your trap. Like, if you don't have anything nice to say, little girl, don't say anything at all. Where's my happy girl? Turn that frown around. Think about the childhood messaging that we got. I was certainly raised. It was very important that others thought I was nice. That was like the holy grail.
Oh, yeah.
Of being a good girl was being nice. But then we really have to look at and go, okay, saying yes when you want to say no, is that legitimately being nice?
And really, it's not, is it? It's really not nice. It's not being nice. Yeah.
No, it's misleading.
It is misleading. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's no wonder things get scrambled and then, you know, expectations aren't met. All sorts of things happen then as a result of that, don't they?
Yes.
And it's interesting. I've been looking at a few things recently where, you know, we're being called upon to allow our inner dragon out. Now, the dragon is actually a very loving animal, mythical, some say. but you know, more and more we are being asked to let out our inner dragon, which is just a force of authenticity and truth and reality, which sometimes can be a bit sort of fiery, can scorch a few people, but you know, we just can't shy away from it anymore, can we? And in fact, somebody sent me the title of a book that's just come out, When Women Were Dragons, I think it's called. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Which I haven't read yet. I've got it in my office behind me here. It's a bit, according to the sleeve notes, it's a little bit like The Handmaid's Tale, you know, how women rose up in a time some time ago and actually literally became their dragon selves and took no you know what from anybody.
Yep. But you know, though, honestly, the way that I look at this with the dragon selves coming out and whatever is that I look at it from a much more gentle place. I look at it because to me, the idea of us sort of needing to scorch earth or like literally torch the village because we've waited so long to be honest about the way that we feel because we've put up with crap for too long.
Yeah.
The way that I teach this and the way that I see this going is I think there is a much, in a way, a more gentle path, even though don't get me wrong. I like the idea of being a dragon like I do. So I'm not against the dragon theme,
no.
But there really is, if we think about what boundaries actually are, according to me, the way that I teach it, it's basically your own personal rules of engagement. It lets other people know what's okay with you and what's not okay with you. And your boundaries are very unique to you, right? It's our lived experience and what we learned, our downloaded boundary blueprint, like what we learned at home and family systems and country and culture and all of those things that create them. But they're made up of your preferences, your desires, your limits, and your deal breakers or your non-negotiables. And knowing those things and simply asserting them more, right? Because the dragon thing to me almost feels a little bit like when you wait too long to set a boundary and then you can't even control how mad you are at like the 947th time that you're asking this person to pick up their friggin' wet towel off the wood floor or whatever the thing is, where you just like lose it.
Yeah.
And there's a way to not get to that place. Because what I find in my therapy practice and in my own lived experience is that I would see the wet towel and be like, hello, these are wood floors. Like, what's your problem? I'd pick it up. I'd put it on the back of the, you know, on the hook that's right on the back of the bathroom door. But I would wait and wait and wait. And then finally be like, do you like, get so mad that whatever I'm saying is not kind, it's not going to be heard, I'm exploding like a volcano, rather than saying, oh, hey, I'd like to make a simple request that you not drop the wet towel because you're putting stains on the wood floor. I mean, we all live here, right? I'm not the only person who's looking at the wood floors, right? It's you too. And so through this very like step-by-step process that you can learn to do, I created something that's very actionable. It's the small things. It's the learning to do it early and often.
I love that. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Dialing into how you feel. Mm-hmm. And instead of suppressing that, being able to go, huh, all right, I just had a constriction in my chest. Mm. What just happened? Mm-hmm. Or my head just hurt, or my throat chakra. A lot of times your throat will almost feel frozen where you can't say something.
Yeah.
Now it's dialing into our body wisdom and being like, oh, in the meeting, Bob from accounting said this thing that I've realized really pissed me off, undermined what I was doing. He mm-hmm. interrupted my presentation. He was looking at his phone while I was presenting, whatever the thing is. And then you can go back and be like, it doesn't matter. A lot of times people go, I missed my moment, right? I didn't say anything at the time and now it's too late. I'm like, why is it too late? You can be like, oh, hey, Bob, I was thinking about the meeting on Wednesday and I wanted to make a simple request that you not be on your phone while I'm presenting because I found it really distracting.
Yeah. Yes. And you preempted one of my questions. I was going to ask you how you know where your boundaries lie. And of course, it's that physical thing, isn't it? It's that feelings. It's that sense in your body. You can feel your throat just tightening or is this constriction somewhere in your body. And you think, I wish they wouldn't do that.
Yes, but also like right now, because we don't want to have to wait until it's happening to identify where we need to get started in our lives right now. So I think the simplest thing that people can do is take a resentment inventory.
Oh, yeah.
So really think, we know, listen, JJ, we know the players in our life. We know the annoying mm-hmm. family members. We know the in-law things. We know them. Mm-hmm. But getting clear about where am I in my God pod, as my friend Chris Carr would say, in my body, where am I holding resentment and for whom? Mm. So we start with that and then we go, okay, what boundary is missing? Or what boundary that I established is being trampled on? Or what need is going unmet in me that I'm feeling resentful? So we can use that little resentment inventory as a GPS. So anyone listening who's like, I have no idea where to start, you do. Yeah. You're going to do a resentment inventory. And I also wanted to let people know that the more you know about your own disordered style of boundaries, the easier it is for you to correct it, because it's not all the same, right? It's not all being a people pleaser. Some people are what I call ice queens, where it's my way or the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Those friends who will... they're pissed at you, they will like not respond to a text for like 4 weeks. You know what I mean? So it's people who withdraw in anger. That's called having too rigid boundaries. Mm. So there is a combination, and I actually created a free quiz if people want to take it. It's just boundaryquiz.com. Super simple. It's 13 questions, and you can, maybe you're a chameleon. Maybe you're a peacekeeper. You know, there's different ways that our disordered boundaries express themselves. But the more we know where we're sort of self-abandoning, the easier it is to have healthier boundaries. Like, we have to be specific because we're all so different.
Mm, yeah. I think I need to head off to that website and do that boundary quiz myself, because... I will. Because even though I think that I've got much better at setting boundaries these days, I know that I can be even better, because I do still sometimes feel myself tensing up and thinking, oh, for heaven's sake, mm-hmm. for heaven's sake, how many times? Mm-hmm. And of course, it's because you're not verbalizing what's going on with you. And so the other person actually might not even know that they're transgressing in any way.
Such a great point, because here's the thing. So much of the time when we get afraid to talk about or assert our preferences, desires, limits, or deal breakers, it's almost like we're looking at the other person as like the enemy, like as the, almost like they're intentionally doing it, or how could they not? We make all these excuses in our mind where my clients would be like, I'm not going to tell them. Listen, they knew I was mad. Oh, that room got chilly. They knew. I shot them a look. I'm like, why are we talking in like smoke signals? Like they do not know what the problem Correct. Is. Trust me. And you can't be super vague. Like you need to be more sensitive. Your partner's like, what the hell does that? What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
So part of it is there are these things, and I call them the lies we tell ourselves to avoid conversations we don't feel equipped to have, where we make excuses for people's crappy behavior. Oh, you know, it's the fourth quarter and he's always stressed during this quarter. I know he screamed at me, but I know he didn't mean it. Or she's PMSing and she's always kind of like this. So I know that she, you know, didn't keep her word on this thing, but I don't want to make a big deal out of nothing. I don't want them to think I'm a drama queen. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. Like we literally talk ourselves out of our own feelings.
Mm.
But why? Because we don't want to have the conversation.
Mm.
And so when you learn the language of boundaries, you're so much less afraid to have the conversation because you can understand. Listen, of course, my partner sometimes is having a bad day or under pressure. That I can be compassionate and loving towards him and also not put up with crap that is not mine to put up with. If my husband's stomping around or acting out about something, like I'll give it a little, like I'm like, hey, maybe he's having a moment. If it goes on like a day, I'm like, hi, is there anything you want to talk about? No, I'm just frustrated about this. I'm like, okay, here's the thing. You and I am here for all of it. We can talk about all your frustration. What I am going to make a simple request about though, is that you don't take it out on me.
Mm.
If you're not mad at me, it's you and me against the problem, not you against me, no matter what the problem is. We are in this lifeboat together, baby.
Great advice from Terry Cole there. And of course, we're all different and we're all in different situations, but how many of us still shy away from expressing our needs? Anyway, we'll have more from Terry Cole in a moment, but first it's time for more messages from our station sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station, with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, Terry Cole, the author of a great book called Boundary Boss. Now, let's get back to my conversation with Terry. Before the break, she was telling us how she would deal with expressing her needs to her husband.
And what do you do when you have that conversation with somebody, but they continue to behave or talk in a way that's been winding you up or really upsetting you? What do you do about that?
Great question. So we're talking about the difference between a boundary first timer, which are the people we've really never said anything to. We've only thought it. Mm-hmm. And then we have the boundary repeat offenders. So at some point, we must attach a consequence to the boundary request if they continue to trample on the boundary, because nothing will change if we don't. And so let's just say we'll take the thing with my husband a little further. Let's just say I have that conversation and he's like defensive. Listen, I'm not taking it out on you. Am I not allowed to be in a bad mood? Blah, blah, blah. No, you're allowed to be in a bad mood. I'll reiterate. My request is that you don't take it out on me. and you walking around slamming doors, heavy sighing, you know, being pissed off, being cynical, all of those things are toxifying the air between us. Mm-hmm. And I am being subjected to that. If he still didn't get it, because that's me providing a little more context about what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
If he still doesn't get it, I would say, hey, I want you to know, if you continue stomping around, heavy sighing when I'm around, and you're telling me it's not personal, it feels personal, I'm removing myself from the room that you're in. And I'm also have only this much, only so much patience for whatever this is. So again, I invite you to have a conversation with me about what you're going through. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not staying in a room with you. I'm not agreeing to go out to dinner with you. If we're going to sit there and you're going to be in miserable silence, I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything wrong. And I love you and I'm here for you. So part of it is that to me, I think that would be an appropriate consequence, where you don't get the luxury of me and my sunshine while you're torturing me. Like, you don't. And we will see. Even sometimes just a small action like me removing myself would actually have a big impact if it's not what you would normally do. Like, that kind of a following through on the consequence,
yeah,
can really shift the way the person, because sometimes we just get stuck,
yes,
right, in our pissiness and our bad moodness, mm-hmm, and whatever. And what you said before, I wanted to circle back briefly because I think, mm-hmm, it's important, about people not being able to read our minds, and that so much of the time with my therapy clients, they'd be like, I had a situation the other day. Someone was saying, my neighbor, her car broke down, and they live like in rural Maine. Car broke down. She has a kid. She's a single mom. She's a waitress. And she asked if she could borrow my truck until she can get her car fixed twice a day to pick her kid up from school. And they're, yeah, close enough. It's like a rural community.
Yeah.
And my friend said, sure. Now, she'd been using the car for 2 weeks and had not put any gas in. And my friend was so mad and was so offended. And she's like, who raised her and how entitled is she? And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, babe, did you say anything to her about it? And she's like, no, it's so obvious. I was like, listen, I was like, Bev, you actually have to have the conversation. She's a single mom. She's overwhelmed. She's broke. You have a right to expect her to contribute to the gas that she's using in your car. So I said, do it. You can do it by text. You can do it anyway. And so the woman texted her and said, hey, I'm coming over to get the truck. And my friend just simply said, okay, great. It needs gas. And she was like, happy to fill it. Thanks for letting me know.
Oh, you see, that's a perfect example, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she wasn't even thinking about it.
No.
We could judge her for not thinking about it, or we could be compassionate and generous and ask for what we want and what would make us feel good about continuing to lend her the truck.
We do that so often, though, don't we? We just build up these resentments and we do not voice them. We do not say anything. And then everything, mm-hmm, kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
But because we haven't actually been honest and open and authentic in our communication, and we haven't set those boundaries. And, you know, we are talking about health here as well, because it is not healthy to internalize these resentments, is it?
No, because here's the thing. Every time you have that thought that gives you a constriction, you're releasing cortisol, adrenaline, mm-hmm, all the things. And every time you ruminate about the conversation you want to have with Bob from accounting or whatever, your body doesn't know the difference. This, yeah, is why pro athletes use visualization so effectively. So when you're thinking about how you're going to ball Bob from accounting out, but you're actually not doing it, I don't suggest balling Bob out, but your body is still in that fight or flight.
Yeah.
You're still, all of those chemicals are still, those hormones are coming into your body, and it absolutely takes its toll. And what I see after people do this for a long period of time, decades even, in my therapy practice, is people who have autoimmune disorders. Like, there's a long-term cost for not talking true in life, yeah, and not being known. Because when we think about it, if we're saying yes when we want to say no, if we're placating people, if we're people-pleasing in all of these important relationships in our life, the biggest tragedy in having disordered boundaries in this way is that how can anyone authentically love us if we never actually allow them to authentically know us?
So true. That is so true. And again, a lesson that takes some of us a long time to learn, because we just haven't, you know, we haven't been exposed to that kind of socialization or that kind of education. And, you know, we go through life blind almost.
Yeah. And sort of the priority, what I see in my therapy clients and in my own experience when I was younger, is that, like, if someone was like, what do you want? I would be like, I want peace. I don't want there to be conflict. I don't want fighting. I don't want trouble. I don't want to be in trouble, and I don't want any problems, right? So conflict avoidant. But then what you realize is that you can't create the meaningful life that you're meant to create by being like, my highest priority is avoiding conflict. Mm. Like, we have to change the way that we relate to conflict, because the way that I teach people to voice, to actually speak your boundaries, it is not about confronting, quote unquote. It's about being neutral, a smile on your face. Oh, hey, I'd like to make a simple request. It's not hard to say that. And the truth is, and that's actually, I did not make that up. That's actually from nonviolent communication, Rosenberg.
I think.
And that's something I've used for so many years, because no matter what the request is that you have, it is simple. It doesn't mean they'll do it. But your job is not, it's not a lever of controlling other people, because this is another misunderstanding, Jada, that people have all the time, is where they almost feel like it's a lever of control. I'll give you a great example of this. So I had a client who, she was a person who liked to go to bed early. Her husband was a person who liked to go to bed late. It really bothered her. She wanted them to go to bed at the same time, but she literally went to bed at 9:30 at night, and he was a night owl and went to bed like 12:30 or 1.
Yeah.
So she was like, you know, this is my boundary. And then he would come in at 12:30 or 1 and kind of be loud, turn on the lights, get undressed in the room and wake her up. He'd then fall asleep and she'd be up and be like, I can't, what? So she's saying to me, this is my boundary. He needs to come to bed earlier. This is a boundary issue. And I was like, no, that's not the boundary issue. So let's discuss, let's be discerning about what it is. Let's break it down. Your partner is a grown person and has every right to go to bed whenever they want to. You knew he was a night owl when you married him. So maybe you guys can talk about that, compromise. Maybe two nights a week you go to bed, so maybe you could fool around, or whatever it is that you, why you want him to be in bed with you. So maybe you can find a compromise. But where the boundary issue is him coming to bed late, knowing that you're sleeping, and not being quiet and considerate.
Yes.
And that is the ask. You say, I'd like to make a simple request that you put your, you get undressed, put your night clothes in the second bedroom, I'll get you a little miner's lamp so you could have a little light, so you're not blasting the lights. And I'm asking you to be considerate about the fact that I'm already sleeping, because when you come in and I wake up, you go back to sleep and I can't. So that, like, she was trying to control his behavior, making him wrong for being a night owl. That is misuse of the word boundary, because that isn't a boundary. That's a preference. She has a preference going to bed early. He has a preference going to bed late. And they're individuals and they're allowed to have different preferences. And in long-term relationships, we also try to compromise. So they did end up going to bed at 10 o'clock, two nights a week, or whatever it was. Like, they found their middle, and he became way more considerate. He wasn't waking her up. And suddenly his night owlness wasn't so annoying to her, right? Because she was misnaming the part that was making her feel unconsidered.
Yeah, that's such a good example. Really is such a good example. Yeah. And as you were speaking, I kept thinking, well, why don't they just sleep in separate rooms? Because you don't necessarily want to sleep in separate rooms.
Right. I mean, a lot of folks do. And yeah. I feel like that's become super popular as now in a totally different way. A lot of people do. actually. Like, it's modern. People who have sleep issues sleep in separate rooms and don't care. This lady didn't want to, though.
No, and I can understand not wanting to. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And also, a lot of people don't have separate rooms to sleep in. You know,
that's correct.
A big family in a smaller house, there is no right. separate room. So, yeah, but that's such a great example of how we can misunderstand or misdirect our feelings around boundaries. Fantastic. Terry, I love what you've been saying. I think that we should all go and read your book, Boundaries Boss.
Please do.
And yeah, I know. Of course you do. Of course you do. Now, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, I mean, I think it's been great. What you've been saying has been fantastic. And I've been mentally thinking of all the instances in my own life recently where I might pay more attention to boundaries, mm-hmm. and also where I might be a little less dragon-like in delineating my boundaries, let's say. Mm-hmm. But no, it's been fantastic speaking with you today. So, and if anybody wants to maybe work with you or, you know, find out more about you, where do they find you?
Yes, I teach lots of courses. So you guys can go to terrycole.com. I also have a very active YouTube channel. I have about 500 free videos with downloadable. Almost every video has an exercise that you guys can do with it. Really, I'm very committed to sort of evening the playing field when it comes to access to mental wellness. So that's my contribution. I put out a ton of free content, and I have certainly tons of paid stuff too. So, and if people want to take the quiz, go to boundaryquiz.com.
I love that. As I said, I shall be doing that. And also, Boundary Boss does have a Boundary Boss workbook as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it's actually for pre-order right now. It's coming out October 31st. Fantastic. And I have to say, I'm so incredibly proud of the workbook, because we decided we wanted it to be a standalone book. So even if people have read Boundary Boss, and because there's a lot of exercises in there too, and scripts there, this is completely different. So yeah, you don't have to have read the book to really get something out of the workbook.
That's really good to know, because a lot of the times you think, oh, well, I'm going to have to go and get the original book now before I understand what this is all about. Yeah.
Nope, you don't.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So yeah, I think it's great. And I think it is so important. And as we said originally, so many of us were not taught anything mm-hmm. about boundaries. We were just taught to be good, be quiet, not speak up. And a lot of us have suffered as a result. So fantastic that people like you exist to teach mm-hmm. us the other way.
Indeed.
So Terry Cole, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I've enjoyed every minute of speaking with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Terry Cole teaching us how to be a boundary boss. And I did do the boundaries test on Terry's website, and apparently my style is in balance and healthy. I'm very pleased to say. I'm raising my awareness of how I'm relating to boundaries right now, and the affirmation that I was given is my boundary skills continue to evolve with ease. Well, it really is good to know that I am improving at long last. And on that note, we're coming to the end of the show. If you're heading out foraging this autumn, do check out my tips for doing so safely on my website. And if you subscribe to my newsletter there, you'll get all my latest news and information delivered straight to your inbox as soon as it's uploaded. That's at thepracticalalchemist.uk. Remember, you can listen to all our shows on all the main podcast platforms these days. And if you like what you hear, or if they've helped you, do help us spread the word by sharing them. And that includes the show that I co-host with psychiatrist and coach Dr. Mark Goulston here on UK Health Radio. It's called Hurt Less, Live More, and Mark and I share experiences, anecdotes, wisdom with some great guests who've had the courage to feel into their feelings and heal. But thank you for listening today. I hope you'll join me for more Alchemy here on UK Health Radio and the UK Health Radio podcast another time. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.